Picture this. You are descending into a mountain valley in central Idaho. The terrain is coming up fast on all sides. Tall ponderosa pines framing both ends of a grass strip that looks impossibly short from up here. Your density altitude on a July afternoon is something like 8,000 feet, even though the field elevation is just 5,100. Your ground speed is lying to you. The air is smooth but thin, and somewhere below you, past those trees, past the runway threshold, you still can't fully see from this angle. There are other pilots parked on the grass, lawn chairs out, somebody's got a camp stove going, and the yellow pine bar is 5 miles down a dirt road. This is Johnson Creek, 3 Uniform 2 on the sectional, and if you haven't been, I need you to put it on the list right now. I'm Ramp. This is Ramp Check on Radio Hangar. And today we're going deep into the backcountry, before I take you all the way in. A word from today's sponsor, AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins, and these things are genuinely beautiful. First solo, private pilot, instrument rating, commercial, all the way up. Every milestone you actually earned gets a coin that tells that story. I've got several of them, and I'm not embarrassed about it. AviationSoul.com. Okay, back to Idaho. Johnson Creek Airport sits in the Payette National Forest, about 45 miles northeast of McCall. The strip runs roughly north-south. About 2,800 feet of grass. Elevation 5,100 feet, mean sea level. No services, no fuel, no tower. You'll hear traffic on 122.8 and you'll make your calls. And if you're lucky, there'll be a windsock that's actually inflated. There is no instrument approach. There's no GPS overlay. There's you, your airplane, the trees, and the physics. On a standard day in July, that 5,100 foot elevation means you're landing and taking off in air that performs like you are at 8,000 feet or higher. Your Cessna 172 does not care that you feel confident. It will give you exactly what the air pressure and temperature dictate and not 1 foot more. And that's the very first lesson Johnson Creek teaches you. This strip doesn't care about your logbook. It cares about your preparation.
But here's what doesn't show up in the airport directory. Johnson Creek isn't just a strip. It's a community, a culture, a destination that people plan vacations around, train for specifically, and come back to year after year the way you come back to a place that got under your skin. The Forest Service cut this strip originally to support backcountry operations in the Payette. Firefighters, rangers, supply runs, medical evacuations, the same story you hear again and again across the Idaho wilderness, where the roads stop long before the need for access, as smoke jumpers and fire crews depended on strips like this for decades before recreational pilots ever found them. That's the heritage baked into the grass here. But over time the recreational pilots found it. They always do. A guy named Doug was telling me this story at a fly-in over in McCall last summer. He's been flying into Johnson Creek for 20-plus years in a Super Cub. I asked him to describe the first time he came in there. He got quiet for a second, and then he described it the way some people describe the first time they saw the Pacific Ocean. Like it reset something in his brain about what was possible. His instructor brought him out there while he was building backcountry time. They flew over the strip once, made their calls on the common traffic advisory frequency, set up a long straight in to let Doug get a good look at the approach over the trees on the north end, and the instructor greased it in and rolled out and stopped with runway to spare. And Doug sat there in the right seat, thinking, "There is absolutely no way I can do that." He said his instructor just looked over and grinned, said, "You will." 6 months later he did. That is what the best backcountry strips do. They are aspirational, they pull you forward in your training, they set a standard that says, get good enough, and I'll let you in. Not as a gatekeeping thing, as a, this matters, and you should take it seriously thing. Now let me walk you through the approach. Because if you're planning to go, you need to understand what you're actually flying in.
The preferred configuration at Johnson Creek is typically landing to the north and departing to the south, though you will always evaluate the actual winds when you get there and use your judgment. The terrain rises sharply on both ends of the runway. Trees on both ends. Big Idaho ponderosa pines, not small trees. Pines that have been growing in this valley longer than there have been airplanes. On the north approach, you are clearing those trees and then immediately transitioning to your landing flare. There is not a lot of time to think about it, which means you need to have already done your thinking. Your pattern altitude over this terrain is not a flat square around a nice airport. You're flying a mountain pattern, accounting for rising terrain on the downwind and base legs. Ridges and drainages affect your winds and affect your go-around options. Before you fly into any backcountry strip, this one included, you want to have flown with an instructor who specializes in mountain flying and backcountry operations. not someone who has flown in the mountains, someone who teaches it specifically. There is a meaningful difference. The Recreational Aviation Foundation, the RAF, is one of the most important organizations in backcountry aviation, and I don't say that lightly. These are the people working to keep public-use backcountry airstrips open, maintained, and on the charts. They work with the Forest Service and the Bureau of Land Management on access agreements. They organize volunteer work parties where pilots show up with their own tools and their own time, and do the maintenance that keeps these strips alive. And they advocate at the policy level, because if nobody's paying attention, these strips quietly disappear. The process is not dramatic. A budget gets cut. A ranger district decides a strip isn't a priority. The windsock rots, the runway gets soft, and nobody fills the low spots. The trees on the approach end grow a foot a year, and then suddenly you've lost 20 feet of usable obstacle clearance and nobody updated the chart, and then one day the strip closes, and a piece of flying culture that took decades to build is gone.
The RAF has run work parties at Johnson Creek. Pilots fly in, pull on gloves, pick up rakes and string trimmers, clear debris off the runway surface, deal with drainage issues, repair the perimeter markers, and then they fly home. That's the agreement. You help keep it open. It stays open. I find that genuinely moving. A community of pilots maintaining a grass strip in the Idaho wilderness with their own hands so that the next person can have the experience they had. That's the aviation culture I want to be part of. Now Yellow Pine. We cannot talk about Johnson Creek without talking about Yellow Pine, because for a lot of pilots, Yellow Pine is the whole point. Yellow Pine, Idaho, is one of those places that sounds like it might be a metaphor for something, but is completely real. A mountain community of maybe 100-year-round residents, roads that are paved for a while and then stop being paved in the way that roads in central Idaho sometimes just decide to stop. The Yellow Pine Bar and Cafe has been the center of that community for generations, and it is exactly what you're hoping it will be. Cold drinks, good food, walls covered in photographs and stories, and a clientele that includes locals who have lived in this valley their whole lives, sitting next to pilots who just flew in from Boise or Twin Falls or Salt Lake City and are trying to look like they do this all the time. You tie down on the grass at Johnson Creek. You walk out of the meadow. You catch a ride from a local, or you walk the 5 miles on a dirt road through the pines, you walk into the Yellow Pine Bar, and you have earned that drink in a way that driving to a chain restaurant never ever gives you. Every August, Yellow Pine hosts what's called the Yellow Pine Harmonica Festival. Harmonica. That is not a typo, it is a real festival, and it has been going on for decades, and it has become, over time, an unofficial backcountry fly-in because pilots figured out that flying to a harmonica festival in the Idaho mountains in a Super Cub is precisely the kind of adventure this life is supposed to include.
Think about that sequence. You sit down the night before, you brief the weather, you pull up your density altitude calculator and you do the actual math, not a rough guess. The actual numbers for your aircraft, your load, the expected temperature at field elevation the next morning. You make a go or no-go decision. You wake up early and do it again with the updated forecast. You pre-flight in the cool morning air when the density altitude is most in your favor. And then you fly over some of the most spectacular mountain terrain in the lower 48 states, and you land on grass and you walk to a harmonica festival. That is what backcountry flying is for. That is the whole thing. I do want to be direct about something, because I'd be doing you a disservice if I skipped this part. Johnson Creek is not a strip for pilots who are unprepared, regardless of total hours. The wilderness does not grade on a curve. The question is not how many hours are in your logbook. The question is, have you received specific, dedicated backcountry and mountain flying training from an instructor who teaches it? Have you practiced short field landings to a standard well beyond check ride minimums? Do you understand density altitude, not as a concept, but as a specific number for your specific airplane? At this specific strip on this specific day, the Mountain Flying Bible by Sparky Emerson is the foundational text for this kind of flying. If you're serious about backcountry operations and you haven't read it, read it. The Recreational Aviation Foundation has resources on their website at theraf.aero and can point you toward qualified instructors in the region. There are pilots based out of McCall and Boise who specialize in exactly this training, and their time is worth every dollar you spend on it. The terrain is beautiful, and the terrain is also completely indifferent to whether you made it home last time. I say that not to scare you out of going.
I say it because the pilots who thrive in the back country are the ones who respect that fact. Get the training, do the math, fly with someone who knows the strip the first time, and then go. One last story.
There's a woman named Carol who flies a Piper PA-18 Super Cub out of the Treasure Valley. She got her private certificate in her 40s. She got the backcountry bug almost immediately, and spent years, years building the skills and the hours and the specific mountain training to do it right. The first time she landed at Johnson Creek on her own, solo, she shut the engine down, and she sat in the cockpit, and she cried. Not because it was terrifying, not even because it was hard, though, it was hard, but because she had wanted to land at that strip for 3 years, and she had made herself earn it, and she was finally there. She told me the grass was still wet from the morning dew. She could hear the creek through the pines, a woodpecker somewhere off to her left. She sat in the cockpit for 10 full minutes before she even unlatched the door. That strip? That's what it does to people. My sources for today include the Recreational Aviation Foundation, the Idaho Aviation Association, information from the Payette National Forest, and a considerable number of conversations with backcountry pilots who let me corner them at fly-ins until they handed over their best stories. More at radiohangar.com. I'm Ramp. Get the training. Do the math. Find a strip that makes you want to cry when you finally get there.